discussing Yom HaPesach for a change. In the beginning of the last Perek in Sochem, the Arvei Sochem, and after Zayit Tesson Beis, the Mishnah and the Gemara discussed the Kakonas Kachamim, the Mitzvah of the Rabbanim, of drinking abrikos, the four cups of wine on Pesach night. The Brisker of Ravel and Salavation, Tana Zaha points out in his Sefer, based of course on Gemara, and he's shown him that in the mitzvah of arbakosis, you really have two different meanings. There are two different mitzvahs here. There's one mitzvah that we recite four brachas alakos. Say, for example, all year long, on Friday night, or on Yom Tov night, we recite Kiddush, and we say the Kiddush alakos, alayayin. Then on Mitzvah Shabbos and Mitzvah Yom Tov, we recite Havdalah, and Havdalah is also recited alayayin. When somebody gets married, so you recite the Birchas Erisin alayayin, one cup of wine. Then you read the Tzuvah, and you recite the Birchas Nisun alayayin. And when you bench, you have the chasamoz and alayayin, so we have them. And you have a bris milos, you have a brach alayayin. We have, all year long, we have various brachas that are recited al hakos in connection with drinking a cup of wine. So on Pesach night as well, the Gemara points out that we have four brachas al hakos. The first is we recite the Kiddush, which is normal. That's a regular brach al hakos. The second bracha we recite al hakos. Asher Yalon, the Gaul of Palestine, and the time he got out of the letter by Matsu Moro, Kenisha Makin Yagienu, Hashem should give us many more happy holidays. We should be Zerichet to celebrate Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, eating the Kodin Pesach, and so on. And then we conclude with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Gaul Yisrael, and we recite Baruch Yagos. That's the second bracha lakos. Then we have the meal. At the conclusion of the meal, we recite the Birchas HaMoz Malakos, which we do all year long also. A lot of people bench all the time in Birchas HaMoz Malakos. Many people are not fit to bench Birchas HaMoz Malakos when they have a mizumen of 3 or mizumen of 10. It's also based on Gemara. But there's an idea of brach alakot, Birchas HaMoz Malayayin. Then the Gemara says we recite the fourth brach alakot on Pesach night. We conclude with the Seder is concluded with the second half of the Halal. The Halal is divided on a very strange takana. The Halal is divided on Pesach night into two parts. The first part is recited before the meal, and the second part is recited after the meal. Normally, all year long, when you're supposed to recite the Halal, you're not supposed to have a meal in the middle of Halal. Let's say on Rosh Chodesh, on Yom Tov, on Chanukah, when you say Halal, Yom pause in the middle to do something else. Then you're not permitted to be mafsik. A shayla in the Gemara, if somebody greets you in the middle of Halal, because the Gemara has a sotik in brachas and daf yidalet, if you're permitted to answer Aleichem Shalom, someone says the Shabbos, Aleichem Shalom, at the Yom Tov, whatever, are you permitted to answer him? So the Gemara says, well, I'm in the middle of Kriyashma, if somebody greets you, you have a din with the Baal Tabam, permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyashma. That's how the Gemara of Darshan. The simple shot of the Dibarta Bam means you should talk to Great Torah. The Gemara has a drasha of the Dibarta Bam, you're permitted to talk in the middle of Kriyashma. Not you should speak words of Kriyashma. The Dibarta Bam, you're allowed to talk your own things in the middle of Kriyashma. That means if someone says Shalom Aleichem, sometimes you're allowed to say Aleichem Shalom. The other person is going to feel insulted, depending whether you're in the middle of a Pasuk, or only between one Torah and the other, and so on. So the Gemara has a comment, maybe this halacha of the Dibarta Bam, that you're permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyashma, only applies to Kriyashma, perhaps it doesn't apply to Halal on Chanukah. The Gemara has a suffix, what the dinner? Is one permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Halal on Chanukah to say Aleichem Shalom, or to say the Shabbos, or whatever it is, or someone else is greeting him in Shul. So we know definitely, normally there is a din, that one is not permitted to be mafsik to talk in the middle of the recital of Halal. Even if you don't recite a bracha, let's say even on occasions when you recite Halal without a bracha, like on Pesach night, no bracha is recited at the beginning of the Halal, still the halacha says one is not permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Halal, because Halal is a siddur shvach of Shavah Kodesh Baruch Hu, we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rabbeinu Yoina writes in brachas, in the middle of a shevach, it's not permitted to be mafsik, let's say a person is reciting Ashrei before Mincha. The people usually have the notion that the din of hefstik, the law that forbids speaking in the middle of davening, only applies if you're reciting some kind of a bracha or another. People usually think, Ashrei, you're not saying any bracha, you can talk all you want. Or Baruch Shama, up until you start saying, middle of Baruch Shama, yeah, Baruch Atah Hashem, and Ken Baruch Hashem. The first part of Baruch Shama is a Hagdamah of Sheva. So people usually assume, the beginning of Baruch Shama, until you get to Baruch Atah Hashem, that's not a bracha, you can talk all you want. So there, or let's say, middle of Zmiris on Friday night, and on Shabbos, we recite Zmiris, the Rabbeinu Yoina writes in brachas on the Rif, but that's not proper. One is not permitted to be mafsik in the middle of any seder shvach of Shavuot Kodesh Baruch Hu until you conclude your shevach. What kind of a shevach is that? I'm praising the Baruch Shalom, the Almighty God, the whole time I start talking about the day school and about the weather and about everything. What kind of a shevach is it? The pastiveness. There's a din that one is not permitted to be mafsik in the middle of a shevach, even if there's no connection with any bracha. It has nothing to do with the fact that you said a bracha before him, or you didn't say a bracha before him. See here also, the halal on Pesach night that we divide, it's very strange, the whole takana. Why would a Chachamim Mitzakim to divide the halal into two parts all year long? You're not permitted to be maksik in the middle of the halal. You say the whole halal in one shot. You're not maksik at all. Now, Shabbat, someone greets you. What are the conditions are you permitted to stay away from? Shalom, the Shabbat, the Yom Tov, whatever. Without those special exceptional conditions, it's definite that one is not permitted to be maksik. So why would a Chachamim Mitzakim lechatchila, why do they make this institution to divide the halal on Pesach into two parts is a deep dark secret. We don't fully understand it. The Rishonim give explanations that very difficult. The Maaseh, what they come out to explain in Itziv, in his commentary on the Haggadah, Hershlei Berlin, explains in his Haggadah, in the name of the Rishonim, it's a difficult shot that we want to demonstrate that the meal tonight on Pesach night is different from the meal all year long. That tonight is the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it's a special Suda, it's even fancier than every Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we sandwich the meal in between the Hallel before and after, so that the whole meal has a different atmosphere, and a different tone to it, that this is the Kodesh Pesach that we're supposed to be eating. Bizman Beit HaMikdash. Bizman HaMikdash, that we recite the Hallel before and after, half the Hallel before and half the Hallel after. So you want to demonstrate that we left Mitzrayim, and this is the Kodesh that commemorates the leaving of Mitzrayim, and that's why we divide the Hallel into two parts. A very strange takana, but that's recorded in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah records an argument between Beit Shammah and Beit Tumah. It's a very old institution. How much of the Hallel should you recite before the meal, and how much should you recite after the meal? This is already Bizman HaMikdash, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when they ate the Korban Pesach. And they recited part of the Hallel before the meal and part of the Hallel after. So there were two different practices, two different amounts. We follow the symbol, of course, but we recite two paragraphs of the Hallel before. Hallel Avdi Hashem, and then we say the second paragraph of Tzeis from the Mitzvah. And the Shammah say, no, just to recite one paragraph. Just as a token demonstration of the fact that the meal is sandwiched in between the two parts of the Hallel. So the Maaseh we have on Pesach night, the Arba Kodeshes that we recite are really four brachas alakos. Again, the first is the Kiddush Alayayim, the second is the conclusion of the bracha, Asher Gualonim, Golas Avosim, Mitzrayim, and so on and so forth, Baruch Atah Hashem, Gual Yisrael. The third bracha alakos is after the meal when we recite the brachas alakos, that we do all year long also. People recite brachas alakos, found in the Talmud, the Gemara discusses it. And the fourth bracha lakos is that in the conclusion of the second half of the Hallel, which for difficult reasons is divided into two parts, one part before the meal, one part after, at the conclusion of the second part of the Hallel, the Mishnah requires himself that we should recite what's called the Birchas Hashir. That's what the Mishnah calls it. We recite the Birchas Hashir. Exactly what is the Birchas Hashir? So the Gemara says that Nishmas, Nishmas Kochai, concluding with Yishtabach, that's called the Birchas Hashir. So that is a bracha. Birchas Hashir is a bracha. So the fourth cup is the bracha lakos of Birchas Hashir. That's nishmas alakos. That's why many people are makta that they pick up the kos and they pick up the cup of wine from the beginning of nishmas, not just at the end. When we say the bracha lakos, we pick up the cup at the beginning of nishmas. So the Gemara says that this is considered one long bracha that's called the Birchas Hashir. The Chayyorim quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon. You Shiva boys know these dinim, that if you come in late to shul and you're in a rush, all about them don't know all these things. The yeshiva often know all how to cut corners. So if you're coming late to shul and you're in a rush, they just say for the sukkah zimmer, if you want to make an abridged form of sukkah zimmer, they just recite Baruch Shama. Karbonos, they never say yeshiva. Whatever comes before Baruch Shama, but they never say. Because the whole idea of karbonos is that you should have a little learning every day. You know, yeshiva often sit around the whole day and the whole night, supposedly, so they don't need that. They don't need learning. They just recite the Birchat HaTorah, the Birchat HaShachar. They delete the karbonos, which is not really proper, because the Gemara says you have to say the sukkim of the karbonos, or the carbon tamid, and the carbon ktoris, that you have to say. The rest of the karbonos, is that mekayim? Okay, if you're going to sit and learn all day, you can leave that. So in yeshivas, they know, you say Baruch Shama, Ashrei, and Yishtabach. You have to say Baruch Shama, Yishtabach, those are the brachas, and then you have to say something in the middle, so they say Ashrei. So the Chayorim quotes from the Vilna Gaon, his Mechutin, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he cannot make such a speedy form of Pesukah Zimra. You have to say Baruch Shama, Ashrei, Nishmas, through Yishtabach. Because the beginning of the Yishtabach for Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Yishtabach begins with Nishmas. Because the Mishnah called Nishmas Kol Chai is referred to as the Birchas Hashir. That's the bracha. One long bracha. On the weekdays, the bracha is Yishtabach at the conclusion of the Pesukah Zimra. Now Shabbos Yom Tov, the Takanas HaAnshei Knesset HaGedolah was that the bracha begins from the very beginning of Nishmas Kol Chai. So on Pesach night as well, when we recite the fourth bracha lakos, there is Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach, so many people are makpid in Shulchan Aruch, such as Flores mentioned. If you pick up the kos of the yayin, your Chavetchik is makpid like that, other Gedolah are makpid, you pick up the cup of wine, from the beginning of Nishmas through to the very end of Mishtar. So in effect, what you have is four brachas ala kos. Like all you know we used to wish. We have Kiddush ala kos, Abdol ala kos, Birchas Hamazon ala kos, Birchas Eresim, Birchas Kisuim, Birchilin ala kos. Here on Pesach night, we have four brachas ala kos. The Kiddush, Hashem Yalono, Birchas Hamazon, and the Birchas Hashfir. Just parenthetically, in the Magen Avraham, who says Pesach Chonsav, in the name of Achron, we quote that there are two menhagim, there are two, not really a question of menhagim, two practices regarding the din over here. When do you drink the fourth cup of wine? Now, this Haggadah, this happens to be the Haggadah with the commentary of the Nefilis. Nice and Nisim, it's called. It's the Pirush of the Nice and Nisim that's printed in the Derech HaChem series by the Goy and the Baal Nefilis. So in this Haggadah, they printed at the very end of the Nishmas, you have the end of the Brach of Ishtaba, and then you have all the Piyutim. Chema, Hibach, Tzia, Lailo, Ramat, Mizara, Pesu, Kilo, Noe, Kilo, Yoel, Lashon, Abob, Yerushalayim, and then you have Bar Priya Gopi. If you must it for a few pages. And the Magen Avraham has two opinions over here, whether the proper thing is to recite the Bar Priya Gopi immediately right after Yishtaba, or perhaps that, why? Because it's a Brach ala Kos, so you say the Nishma through Yishtaba, then you say the Bar Priya Gopi, you drink the Kos. Then you finish with the Haggadah, then you can say or not say whatever piyutim you want to say. The Haggadah is finished already. Once you finish your fourth cup of wine, you're all over already. The rest is piyutim and hogan. Well, no, since on Pesach night, Magen Avraham quotes today, since on Pesach night, you're not permitted to drink anything extra after the fourth cup of wine. If you're going to drink the fourth cup over here, then you're going to start singing other of Nisim and Slice of Allah. You're going to get thirsty later on. So the only thing we allow you to drink is water, tea. So you're going to get thirsty later on for something recent. So some Achronim say, they recommend you should save your fourth cup till later. It's going to be a hefsik. How can you save the fourth cup? How can you save the bracha of the drinking till later? Don't you have to recite the bracha immediately after the conclusion of the Birchas Hashir? So these Achronim say, no, not necessarily. And they point out that the Tur, the son of the Rosh, Tur Rabbein Yank, about the term, had an argument with his brother, the Rabbein Lechiel. Had a machlokes regarding Birchas Hamazon. When you conclude the Birchas HaMazon, so really the whole Birchas HaMazon is over when you say the Yodam Al Yechasrein. The Gemara says the Birchas HaMazon, the Raisa is completed, Min HaTorah, one has finished Birchas HaMazon, where he says, Vayne V'rachim Av Yerushalayim Amen. That's why we say Amen, to demonstrate that the benching is finished, because the HaMazon is concluded, Min HaTorah. And then the Rabbanan, the Chachamim, made a Takana to recite the Bracha, what's called HaTorah HaMetzik. Kehil Avinim, Akeinu, Adirein, Borein, Yolein, Yerushalayim, that's called HaTorah HaMetzik, because we mentioned in the middle, HaTev, HaMelech HaTev HaMeitiv LaKol, Shemchol HaYom, Hu Heitiv HaMeitiv Hu Yeitiv Lano. So that's what the Gemara refers to as the Birchat HaTev HaMeitiv. So the Gemara says HaTev HaMeitiv Lav Dei Araisa. That's not a Din Min HaTorah, that's a Takana Mid Rabbanan. How far does HaTev HaMeitiv go? So it really goes Kol Tov Nekol Tov L'Yolam Ayich HaShrein, period, that's the end. The new stuff that we continue to say, HaRachman HaYimloch HaLeim L'Yolam Vod, HaRachman HaShbar HaShemayim L'Yolam and so on, Yirei Neim HaVam Yirandu. All that is from the Gaonim. That's it to the Achtimah Talmud. From Medina, the Gemara, the Ikar Adin, the Birchas HaMazon is concluded when you say the Yoram HaYechashim. That's why the Yeshiva Bachim, many Yeshivas are so busy learning, so they don't want to have any Bittul Torah, so they just say the Yoram HaYechashim, and that's it. They never say, not Shabbos, not Yom Tov, they don't say the rest. From the Vilna Goin, they quote, but the Goin didn't say, see, the Goin has a little bit over here, the Vilna Goin didn't say all of the Harachmans on Shabbos and Yom Tov. He started to say, Rachman Himach Alein 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 Rachman Shtadach Lidodon and so on, and that was all. La'adol Yom Yalom, then Parnasele B'chovet, you have to talk about Parnasa on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't talk about business, so that he didn't talk about. Yishbruch Ola Golos Mi'al Tov Horeinu, didn't want to talk about Golos, so from then on he didn't say, Yishbruch Baruch HaBayis HaZeh, is again Parnasa money, Yishbruch HaBayis HaZeh, that's what you should say. So these Harachmans have only gone deleted on Shabbos again, but on the weekdays he did say all the Harachmans. And the yeshivas today, the Bochum are so busy learning, they're such great masmidim, so many yeshivas, they leave out, after the Yolam Ayach HaShem, they leave out. The Raman quotes it from the Gaon. The Raman quotes the whole Nusach HaBench, including all the Harachman. Look, so the Tur has an argument with his brother, the Rabbeinu Yechiel. When a person, this is good, a person is benching all year long, it's fine. What about when a person benches Allah Kot? When he drinks the cup of wine in connection with the Birchas HaMazon. So he holds the cup in his hand, from the beginning, until the end of the benching, till the Yolam Ayach HaShem. Then he's not supposed to talk in between the Birchas HaMazon and the Korcha Gopin with the drinking of the wine. So if the din is the Minat Torah, the Birchas HaMazon is concluded when you say Dvarim V'Racham Yishalayim Ben. And with the Rabbanon, you've finished your benching when you say Mikol Tov the Yolam Ayach HaShem. So you've finished already. So then the Torah quotes the name of his brother. It's like, finish. No? So say then, brother, and drink your cup of wine. And then later on, you say all the haraki. So that's what the Rabbein Yechiel says. And the Torah disagrees and he says, no, since the minig is that we say harachman, we're going and institute this minig, and the Rambam quotes it. So we consider all the harachmans as a continuation, as a hemshech of the bracha revius of HaTevah HaMeitiv, and therefore, it doesn't really constitute a hepsik. If a person will start to discuss other outside matters, in between the Birchas HaMazon and the Birchas HaGofen and the drinking of the cup later on, that'll start to constitute a hepsik. But if the person is going to continue with more shelach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rahman, Hivinuach, Alein, Aliyah, Mavoy, Tfilos, and Bakoshes, and more shevach, but this doesn't really constitute a hepsik. The same achlekes you have when you have a bris milah, the tour quotes in Hilchos Milah, Yerudeya, between the tour and his brother Rabbein Yechiel. The practice that they have in most places today is that right after the bris, before the bris, the boy says the bracha, the father says the bracha, and then after the bris is finished, everybody says the shem shenet is the bris, and so on, and then you fill up a cup of wine, and somebody says the second set of bracha, they say bar pira bracha. Then you say a bracha that's found in Moshe, Kiddush, you did in the bet, and the Chod B'Sher HaSom, so self person goes to his Kiddush, and so on and so forth. And then you say, Koreis HaBris. Baruch HaTa Hashem, Koreis HaBris. Finish. You said the bracha HaGofen, and the bracha Koreis HaBris is found in Moshe, so you should drink your wine. You recited a bracha HaLakot, so you should drink the wine, and then you say the bracha HaFen. So we have our own minute, in addition to what it says in the Gemara, to recite the bracha of Koreis HaBris, Shekiddush, you did in bet, and ends off with the bracha Koreis HaBris. We have a minute. You say another mishaberach. Okay, okay, okay. Kayem saliyan azel yovi v'leimom. If he has no parents, that's enough. You say yovi v'leimom. Whatever happens to him, or if the father to go, he says v'leimom. Whatever the situation happens to be, so you say mishaberach. Because all the moelim today, they know all the special mitzvahs that they have to do. Have to say one of the boys in my shiur had a shaylep. A cousin of his had a baby from the husband was a goy. He had a shaylep. What to do by the bris? I said, don't worry. The moel will know what mitzvah to say. He said the moel came and he knew right away what the nusach is, when the father was going, when the mother was going. They know all the nuschos. In America, everybody knows all the nuschos. So the moel knew he had to have kavanah, shemila, shemgelis, the shemila. Everything, he knew all the kavanah. Standard nusach in America. So the question is, when you complete the bracha koras abriz, and then before reciting the bar piagofim to drink a cup of wine, the one is reciting starts saying kayem esayelazam yishaber for the baby, for the mother, everybody should have nachas. And they should have a lot of pleasure from the baby. The Shabbat is Tachah Hepsit. It's a new tefillah, it's a new bakosh, and not mentioned in the Gemara. Should that constitute a Hepsit? So the Rabbein Yechiel, the brother of the Torah, claims that it's a Hepsit. And the proper thing is that you should drink the wine, take a sip of the wine, right after the conclusion of Koras Abris. The Din of the Gemara, you finish with the Bracha Rakos, before you start to say Kayem Asayel Ohenzel. And the Torah doesn't think that it's such a gefela for Hepsit. It's just like the common practice by Harachmans is that we recite the Baruch HaGofen at the very end of all the Harachman, so too the Torah says Nishge Ferlach, what the Minig Olam is, that the one who is reciting the Bracha is mafsik to continue to say another tefillah, another tefillah and a bakosha. Kayem, Esayel Azel, Liyaz V'Limo, and so on, Likoresh Nabi Yisrael, Tzani Ben Tzani. We recite this before the Baruch HaGofen and it doesn't constitute a hefz. So similar to that, the Machloikis and the common practice is that we do say, most people do say Harachman before this way the Baruch HaGofen. Most places they do say Kayemas Hayela Hazel Yavuzulimo before they drink the wine like the Torah. That's why the Magen Avraham quotes Achrenim who say that on Pesach night when you finish with, you say the fourth bracha is Nishmas Kol Chai, you conclude with the Birchas Hashir. So the Magen Avraham quotes Achrenim who say they recommend that you shouldn't drink the wine right away, you should first say a few more piyutim, because if you're going to drink the wine now, you're going to start singing the mirrors and the piyutim, you're going to get thirsty, and then the halacha doesn't allow you to drink any extra wine, only water, so you may not be satisfied with the water. So they recommend that you should save the drinking of the fourth cup for later. Tosfos has a partial rule that solves part of the case. Regarding Kiddush, it's machlokes, b'sham and b'stilo, right? So we follow the stilo that first you recite the Baruch HaGofen and then you recite the Kiddush. B'sham says you forget. So Tosfos asks, why is it that the stilo sheet applies to everything but Birchas HaMazon? When you recite Birchas HaMazon, Malakos, first you say the benching and then you say the Baruch HaGofen at the end. Okay, Tosfos, why not say Baruch HaGofen first and then say the Birchas HaMazon? So on that kasha, Tosfos answers that if you would recite first the Baruch HaGofen And then you recite the Birchas HaMazon. The Birchas HaMazon is a declaration that you concluded, you finished eating. You just concluded your meal. So the Birchas HaMazon constitutes a Hesach HaDaat against the Bracha HaGof, as you just said. So then you wouldn't be able to drink. After you finish the benching, you wouldn't be able to drink on the smach, relying on that Bracha HaGof that you recited before the benching. You have to say another Bracha HaGof. So what do you fadim? So what do you gain by saying about the Bracha HaGof for? Before the benching. So then it won't be a bracha lakos. The bracha tamazon has to be recited at the time that the wine is there in the cup. So the only question is, should you recite the bracha bar gagaf before or after? But the drinking has to take place apparently after the whole bracha tamazon is finished. The invitation suggests that solves this question. Doesn't explain the haglada though. Doesn't explain why on Pesach night some of the bracha, let's say the bracha tamazon, is explained. Fine. But the other two brachas, the bracha shev yalonu and the bracha nishmas kol chai, this is not explained. That's a good question. Why don't we recite these two Bracha HaGofen before the Bracha instead of after? I don't know. So good cash. So again, the Biskarov points out as follows. That on Pesach night, the Gemara makes it clear that the drinking of the four cups, the other places, is really a double mitzvah. It's one mitzvah that you have four Brachas Halakos. You have Kiddush Halakos, and you have Brachas Hamazon Halakos, but that at least we're familiar with, that we know from all year long. And then we have another two Brachas Halakos. You have Hashem Yolon, and we go all the time, and we try and Brachat Hashem Goal Yisroel. Then you have the Birchas Hashiv Alakos, the long Nishmas through the Yishtabach, which is also recited as a Bracha Alakos. That's one mitzvah on Pesach night. In addition to having four brachas recited Alakos, the Gemara says there is another Tachanas Tachanas. It's a mitzvah to drink four toasts, to drink four times L'chaim on Pesach night. Two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah to recite four brachas Alakos, and one mitzvah to drink Arbukaisis on Pesach night. What is the difference, Halacha L'maaseh, between these two mitzvahs? Why do you have to say that they're two different dinim? Oh, so the Biskarov explains a lot on afternoon. So number one, the first afternoon is a place of points out on Tzadik Tes on the base. Normally, all year long, one person recites Kiddush, and he drinks the wine, and everybody gets it. You don't have to have that. Everybody should drink. We have a minig already, stems back from the times of the Rishonim, from the times of the Gemara, that everybody tries to be mahadir, to try to take a sip from the Toshal Bracha. By benching, by sheva brachas, and by all the times, not only as good for the single people, that they should drink from the kais from sheva brachas, that they should get ma'azam, it's tam, the Gemara says in brachas, it's an Indian, it's a kovar akos, that everybody should drink part of the yain of the kosher brachas. It doesn't even necessarily have to be dafka the wine from that cup that the person recited the kiddush on. The Gemara says in brachas, any wine that you pour, either before kiddush, or during kiddush, or after kiddush, in connection with the Kiddush is also called drinking the Koshal Bracha. So the but Nikar Adin, you yotze, let's say the Kiddush, the Havdalah, the Birchas HaMazon Halakos, the Birchas Erusin, you yotze if one person drinks the wine, everybody's yotze. Not really. You pour the wrong wine, right? You pour them the wrong wine. In fact, there's a problem for right, even when it's in box. In fact, it's a problem. Person says the meaning that everybody drinks from the kosher bracha. If I first take a sip from the wine, so that's called yain pogum. And yain pogum, you're not permitted to make kiddush on the chatzila, unless you don't have any other wine. But wine that you take, that you have taken a sip from, you're not supposed to use for kiddush if you have wine that no one sips from. So the minig is that we shouldn't have a minig that if I recited kiddush and I took a sip from the wine, and the other people want to be mahadir for the mitzvah and anutka, to have a taste from the kosher bracha, they should also drink. They should drink from a kosher in a pogum. Not only should the kiddush be recited of a kosher in a pogum, everybody should take a sip from a kosher in a pogum. So how is that possible? Once I take a sip, so the whole course that I have is pogum. So it says you have to pour in a little extra wine first into the cup that you drank from, and then pour it to everybody else. Right. And Shulchan Aruch says, let's say, if you make Kiddush Avdola, you can pour, after completing the bracha, you can pour from the kos into another kos and drink that, and then the original kos of wine will not be pogum. So the Magen Avraham points out in Shulchan Aruch that Avdola, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes like that in Shulchan Aruch, he says he forgot the tasis in Tzachim. And if Rabbi Yosef Kara would have remembered the tasis, Mechaba wouldn't have written it in like that. Tasis says the Feirish, that Hamavarach Tzor Sheyitom, when you recite a bracha lakos, you have to drink from the kos. The Tzitzis says you're not allowed to pour it over to another kos and drink. Only if the other kos that you pour it into will have a whole revius. But if you just pour off a little bit, it doesn't have a revius, then he quotes the Tzitzis that it's no good. So that's the Shailan Din, how he passed him. Do we pass from the stock of the Shulchan Aruch? Or do we worry about the fact that the Magen Avraham says that Rabbi Yosef Kara forgot the Tzitzis, and if he would have remembered it, he wouldn't have written what he wrote. He wouldn't have passed him that you can pour over to another kos. So forget, it's much better if you pour from the bottle of wine for everybody else, it's much easier. You don't have the problem of giving them close problems. So all year long, Taisin's point said, all year long the halacha is that when one person recites a bracha lakos, abdallah, bechamaz lakos, all you need is hamavarach, tzor shehitam. One person has to drink the wine and everybody's here to do the kiddush of the havdallah. On Pesach night, Taisin's point out that it's not sufficient. If the one who's reciting the whole Haggadah, let's say the father of the family, will recite the Kiddush, and he alone will have wine, and he'll drink the wine, and nobody else will drink. So Taisus says, yeah, he'll be Eitz, everybody will be Eitz of the Kiddush. They'll be Eitz of the Bechus HaMazon HaLakos, they'll be Eitz of the Brach HaLakos, but they won't be Eitz of the second mitzvah of Arba Taisus. There's one mitzvah that everybody should have four Brach HaLakos on Pesach night. But there's another mitzvah that everybody should drink four times L'chaim. In fact, you have an afkamina in the reverse order. Let's say on Pesach night, everybody comes home from shul and they make kiddush and they drink one cup of wine and they say, okay, let's have another three cups of wine. Knock them all off now. So the Gemara says, shasam v'asachas, what if we drink all the four cups? One after the other, after the other, after the other. One, two, three, four. Just like that. So the Gemara says, one mitzvah you were yotze. The mitzvah of having four times l'chaim on Pesach night. That you were yotze. But the separate mitzvah of having four brachas alakos, that you were not yotze. These are two distinct mitzvahs. This mitzvah of having four times l'chaim, the Rambam explains, this is based on the special mitzvah that we have on Pesach night, that everybody has to demonstrate that he's a free man. So people who are slaves are not given intoxicating beverages to drink. They give them coffee and they tell them to work. Don't get drunk, don't fall asleep, work hard. People who are free people, they have leisure, they have free time, they can do whatever they want. They have time to have l'chaim, and another l'chaim, the otkos, they have four times l'chaim. On Pesach night, there's a mitzvah to have four times l'chaim to drink a toast to our freedom. So these are two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to recite four brachas alakos, and there's one mitzvah to have four times l'chaim. Another nafkamina l'halacha that the first can point out is the following. When you recite kiddush or havdalah alakos, so the Gemara says you have to take a sip of the wine. Let's say you recite havdalah, nobody drinks the wine, so the Gemara says like you're not yotze. On the Vara of Torah Shiita, in order to be Yotze, the Kiddush, or the Havdalah, the Mosh was an Erev in that many days, you have to take a sip. And how much wine do you have to sip that it should be considered to Imo? So the Mosh says you have to take a minimum sip of Malo Lugma, the amount of wine that would fill up one sheet. Malo Lugma, exactly how much is that? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Ram, that by an Odom Beinoni, by an average person, it really depends on each person how wide his jaw is, how big the mouth has to be. The person has a big mouth. He has a bigger Malay Lugma. That's how the Gemara says an Erevim. But this is one of the Shurim that depends on each and every person's the size of his mouth. By an average person, the Ram quoted by the Shulchan Aruch says that it's the majority of Revius, a Revius. But by a smaller person, by a larger person, could fluctuate. Regarding Pesach night, when it comes to the Arba Kosos, the post can point out that it's not sufficient just to take a sip that will be a Revius. The Gemara says we have to drink a right cup, and the Pasuk must say licha, still he's supposed to drink the entire cup. And to the evidence, if a person feels that it's too hard, or he didn't do it, or whatever, and he only drank a majority of the cup, so to the evidence, a right cup, you apply the principle of ruba kukula that you yet to the evidence, but still he's supposed to drink kolakot. And this is halacha and kolakot kukula. Whenever you have a din of a mitzvah, you have to fulfill a mitzvah with a certain object, so the din requires you should do the mitzvah with the entire object. But if you do the mitzvah with the robe of the object, then you apply the principle of ruba kukula. For example, the Gemara has regarding shechita. The Gemara says in the beginning of the second parashat kulin, when you shech the behemah, so lechatchila you should shech the entire kana and the entire veshit, the both simon, both the full windpipe and the food pipe. The esafiru. The diyeved, the Mishnah says, hashechet b'diyeved. If you only slaughter, you only cut through. Hashchitik share the rove of the koneh and the rove of the veshit, so b'dyeved we apply the klal of ruba kukula. But l'chatchila, many rishonim say it's a din l'chatchila d'oraisa, because shchita is a mitzvah, and the mitzvah has to be done l'chatchila legamrei, fully done. Kol hashkoneh, the kol haveshit. B'dyeved, if you did rove koneh, rove veshit, it'll also be good. So the poskim point out over here also on Shulchan Aruch, that the Gemara says, b'dyeved, if a person drank a rove koneh, usually people just take a little sip from the arba koneh. So it's not really right. People, what they usually do on Pesach night, everybody does everything wrong. They take a little sip, comes to the matzah, they take a little nibble, comes to the matzah, they take a little nibble, comes to the karpas, oh, they're so hungry, they eat a lot of karpas. So that says the Shulchan Aruch, everything is from kokeh. When it comes to the matzah, you're supposed to eat big shiur matzah, kazayis. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you have to have quite a few kizeis. You gotta have first when you say the first time after the knot, you have to have two kizeis, not nuts. And for the Korach, you have to have a kizai. Then for the Apatoyman, you have to have two kizeis of Malach. The Mora, you have to have a kizai. And then for the Korach, you have to have another kizai of Mora. And the Arab kizai is not just a sit, you have to take a big kolakois and the other roigakois. When it comes to the karpas, the Shulchan Aruch gives a whole explanation why you're supposed to only take a little nibble. Less the dafka, less than a kizai. The dafka less, because shaylele, if you finish eating the karpas, do you say boring the fashas somehow? Will the eating of the karpas be covered by the brichas hamazon that you plan to say in another hour and a half, or depending how many children you have to ask if you're kashuga, how long it's going to take? Or no, it's such a long pause in between the karpas, you've already forgotten that you had any karpas. So the eating of the karpas cannot be covered by the brichas hamazon at the end of the meal. So because of this question, Tosafos has two opinions about this, but according to the halacha, the eating of the karpas will be covered by the brichas hamazon at the end of the meal. That's why in Shulchan Aruch they recommend you should make sure that you eat for the karpas less than a kazai. Less than a kazai, so you certainly don't say bar nefesh. There's no shayla. No, let's say the karpas we eat right away, right after the kiddush. You have kaddish, you have karpas. And then the matzah, that's in the meal. So the meal takes a while, and then the end of the meal, we bench. Let's say we go to a wedding, it takes 4 hours for the meal. So at least you have the food on the table, you keep on serving more food. So you don't forget that you're in the middle of the meal. But the karpas eat an hour before you wash hamotzi, so before you begin to eat the meal even. The Gemara has yet a fourth nafkamina, fourth difference in this issue regarding this halacha, that drinking the arbitrase on Pesach night is really a double mitzvah. There's one mitzvah to have four times l'chaim, to drink four places to demonstrate that we are free people, that we're no longer avodim. And the other mitzvah is to recite the four brachas on the Kof. The Gemara has another difference on that Kuf Chesem and Beis that they call Shoson Shison Chai. What if a person drinks the abacosis and he can't stand the wine? If he gets sick, he chokes when he drinks the wine. So what if a person recites Kiddush Alayayin and he can't take wine when he gets sick? What if a person recites Havdolah? So if that person gets sick when he drinks wine, is that going to be Taka Pata? No, because what if a person gets sick when he eats Mas? Let's say somebody is Taka sick too. Somebody is a chayla sick, and he knows that if he's going to eat matzah, he's going to throw it up, he's going to become nauseous, he's going to get sick, he's going to become dizzy, whatever. But Allah also says the person is not mechuyav to do a mitzvah, even a mitzvah in a Torah like matzah. You're not mechuyav to do a mitzvah if it's going to make you sick. Allah says, nish mechuyav, that's all. When it comes to eating trace of food or something, then we only allow a person to eat Shabbos, to eat on Yom Kippur, to eat trace of food, if there's really a sakonis nefoshis, if his life may be in danger, his life will be in danger, and may be in danger. But if it's a question of observing the mitzvah, he says, Allah says, whenever observing the mitzvah will cause him any sickness, he's an ishmukhi. He's not mukhi to do the mitzvah. But let's take a different case. Not a case where he's really going to get sick. Let's say a person drinks arbitrasis and he doesn't enjoy that wine. Say a white wine, a red wine, a fancy different kinds of wine. He doesn't enjoy that kind of wine. So is he yotzei the arbitrasis or not? So the Gemara says, well, there are two mitzvahs in arbitrasis. The one mitzvah, bracha ala kos, that is yaitzir, that's a formality. You recite Kiddush and you have a cup of wine and you drink the wine. Whether you enjoy the wine or not, that's a brach alakos. The brachas hamazon alakos, ashur yalonu alakos, the brachas ashir alakos. That aspect of alakos is that you have a brach alakos, you recite a brach at HaKadosh Baruch in conjunction with the coast of Yalim. That mitzvah you are yaitzir, even if you personally don't enjoy that particular brand of wine that you drink. However, the other mitzvah of cherus, as the Gemara calls it, to demonstrate that you're free men, so you have four l'chaim, you drink toast to your freedom, so you don't drink a toast and suffer at the drinking that you have. You don't enjoy it, so then you're not yetzer that mitzvah. So the Gemara says, in order to be yetzer to both mitzvahs, both of reciting four brachas alakot, and having the mitzvah of cherus, to drink four times l'chaim to demonstrate that you are a ben chorin, so you have to drink wine that you enjoy. The Rambam, when he quotes the Gemara, says it should be a shtiyah areva. It should be a pleasant-tasting drink that you personally enjoy. If it's a drink that other people enjoy but you don't enjoy, then you should get a different kind of wine that you personally enjoy. That's why Rav Soloveitchik recommends every year when he speaks about that request, he always recommends that people who don't enjoy wine should bedavki get grape juice, because if they don't enjoy that, so what kind of a toast is that? They should bedavki use grape juice. Moshe Feinstein, Tainis, Punfaket, is what kind of a toast on grape juice? Make a toast on orange juice, make a toast on tomato juice. No, toast is on an intoxicating beverage. If someone has alcohol, that means you make a toast. Ah, you don't enjoy it. Everybody knows you make a l'chaim on alcoholic beverage, you don't make a toast on grape juice. That's why Moshe Feinstein and Shira Lee put that a pamphlet that the abukaisis have to be dafke with alcohol, have to be dafke a real toast, a real fine. And if you're really, really sick, if you're past the age of 95, whatever, you're an old sick man, you're falling apart, then if you can't take it, you're going to say, then we'll make it to mix in a little grape juice, or to drink grape juice, b'shas ha'chag, b'di'evit. But Rav Moshe Tainis, for the same reason, that it has to be a toast, he says it has to be dafke toast on something which is an intoxicating beverage. But these are the four nafkaminis laduna based on what Rav Ovo quotes the most of the fairies like that. That regarding the abukaisis, there are two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to drink four times l'chaim, and there's another mitzvah to recite the four brachas alakot. The one of kamina is whether each member of the household has to drink his own abukaisis. So we say yes, if only the father of the household will drink, he will only be yotzei the one aspect of brach alakot. He won't be yotzei the mitzvah of everybody having his own four times l'chaim. The other nafkamina is that what if he drinks all four b'vasachas? You don't recite any hadrot in between. So the four times l'chaim he yotzei. Or the four brachas ala kos you haven't been used. Third nafkamina is how much of the cup do you have to drink? As far as the brach ala kos, it would have been sufficient just to take a sip, like the din is by Kiddush and Avdov, you drink a row of these, what we call them, a low lugma, enough that you can fit into one side of the night. But because it's not merely a din of hamarach tzav shayitam, it's a din, you have to drink four times l'chaim, so the din l'chatchila requires to drink out the entire cup of wine each time. Kumay l'chatchila. And the Gemara says, quoting Shavuot, if you drink rubai, then you say rubai kikumai. If you drink the majority of each one of the four kaisers, then rubai kikumai. So when is the yotze b'riyeved? The kos has to be a minimum of a reviyus, right? Most of the time, right. Most of the time the cup is more. Right. It would be the same, right. Unless the cup happens to be bigger. Many times the cup is bigger. See, very often people use a cup. The arbitrages, that's less than a revius. A revius is approximately 3.5 ounces of fluid ounces. A revius means the size of an egg and a half. The volume of an egg and a half with the shell. Not the contents cracking open. With the shell and egg and a half. So you have to have a decent sized cup. You can't have a tiny one. It doesn't have to be gigantic. It doesn't have to be too big. But it has to be the size of an egg and a half. That's a revius. And you have to drink the entire. And the fourth difference was, based on the fourth difference between these two mitzvahs, what if I drink abukaisis and I don't enjoy the wine? If it makes me sick, like I don't have to drink abukaisis, I don't have to eat matzah if it's going to make me sick. But if it doesn't make me sick, I just don't enjoy drinking the wine. So as far as the brachas ala yai and the brachas ala kos, that I'm yotzei anyway. But regarding the other mitzvah, that you have to drink four times l'chaim, you have to drink a toast four times, so our hotseis is insulted to the four gulas, so that you have to have dafke shtiyah areva, a pleasant tasting mashke, to the cover, to the fat.
There's no distinction between the things that are four and saying the things that you say. Otherwise, you sit down, you
drink. If I drink all four right away, I'll be out to the one mitzvah, but I won't be out to the other mitzvah of having four broken water, so then I'll have to continue again to have another toast when I get to that, to the Asher Yalon, or another toast by the bench. In order to be out to the two takonos, the one takonos to have four l'chaim, and the other takana to recite four times brach alakos, so the Chachamim instituted to recite one brach alakos, and then to say a chant of the Haggadah, and then to recite another brach alakos, and so on. Mina shinu yayin, another type of wine. Yes, we pass from our lofi, we say, I told our mates if the second wine tastes better than the first. Or if you don't know whether it tastes better or worse. But if it's inferior to the first one, then you don't say everyone else. If it's clearly inferior, if the expert say that it's inferior, even if you can't tell. The expert says it's inferior, you don't say everyone else. But you only recite our Tevah Meitzvah if you have other people drinking with you. If only one person is drinking alone, you don't say everyone else. There's one fellow in Washington Heights manufactures his own wine. And he has different kinds of wine, as a professor. He has different kinds of wine. And he always has people over to his home, and then he starts swishing the wine in the middle, and he says, let's recite a bracha, Tevah Meitzvah. So usually the guests never heard about Tevah Meitzvah. So what kind of a bracha is that? How do you say it? You just say, bracha, Tevah Meitzvah, Tevah Meitzvah. That's the whole bracha, Tevah Meitzvah. Special bracha that the Chachamim or Misakein, when you have a shino yayin, when you're drinking wine with others, two or more people are drinking wine together, and then they have another kind of wine that's either superior to the first wine, or different from the first wine, so it may or may not be superior. If you have a suffix word that may or may not be superior, then you want to recite the bracha ha'tevah. It's a special takana sahan. Right, you say again, I'll say again. There is one opinion that the Beis Yosef quotes, that wine in the middle of a meal, you never recite HaTeva Meitiv, because you're going to recite HaTeva Meitiv in the Birkat HaMazon. And that HaTeva Meitiv covers the Shiur Yain. That's one opinion of the Beis Yosef, but we don't pass on that. We pass on that HaTeva Meitiv is recited even on Shiur Yain in the middle of the meal. Right, that's the Machlokes in Shiur Yain. We mentioned before that these two mitzvahs of Arba Kaisis, one of them is to drink four times l'chaim. What kind of a din is that you have to drink four times l'chaim? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, he puts everything together as follows. The Rambam explains that on Pesach night, we have among the various mitzvahs, we have the following two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is, the chol davadar chai varam liris esatzno kilu hu yotzim in Yisrael. In every generation, everyone should have the feeling, the hargosha, the sensation, as if they themselves were Avodim and Mitzrayim, as if they just left Mitzrayim. And the Gemara, the Mishnah, basically is on the Pasuk that goes, V'yosana hos Mishan. Man hovi yosana wa lorot v'shinuz v'ashem la v'sein v'as eslam. They have to have the feeling as if we left Mitzrayim. This is a very difficult mitzvah. This is most probably, one of our Rabbeinu Zechariah Baruch Hu said, this is most probably the most difficult mitzvah on Pesach night. To experience such a feeling as if we, either lahot ha'tar yizbrach ha'tar v'sein ha'rayonu v'nayinu v'nayinu, we feel we would have been slaves in Egypt. Everybody finds that very hard to believe. History keeps on rolling on. So many thousands of years since the tears of Israel, we would have still been slaves. Some of the other nations go free, so why would we still slaves? It's a very difficult thing. That's what we say in our Haggadah. That's why it's difficult to experience it. So this is a mitzvah in our Torah. The Gemara learns it out, the Mishnah learns it out from the Pasuk, and that's Kuf Tezayin on day. This is difficult. Then you have a din with the Rabbanon, which the Rambam presents as follows. This is already an easy din to observe. The chold of a door in every generation, everybody has to demonstrate that he is a ben chorin. Look, the demonstration, that's easy to do. And the Rambam says, how does one demonstrate that he is a ben chorin? So the Rambam says there are two ways to demonstrate chayus. One is by drinking four times l'chaim. That we, the chachamim made a kakana, we should drink our b'chayus on Pesach night. Because the slaves are given coffee to drink, or whatever, they're not given intoxicating beverages to travel around to make l'chaim. And the free people have good time, and they do whatever they want, so they drink the wine. That's one form of demonstrating that we are ben chorin. And the other form of being married, people who yet sometimes to demonstrate that we are free men, is to eat behesedah, to eat leaning on the left side. This is the way the Rambam presents this special mitzvah of the Rabbanon, the Chol Dor V'Dor. One is a mitzvah in our Torah, one is a mitzvah in the Rabbanon. The mitzvah in our Torah is the Chol Dor V'Dor, Chayvonim Liris Esatzno, a person should visualize and have the feeling, have the experience, to feel as if he left Egypt. This is a difficult mitzvah in our Torah. The easier mitzvah in the Rabbanon is the person should demonstrate that he is a ben chorin. And he demonstrated by two specific actions. You don't have to have any feelings, any emotions at all. One is by drinking the abacosis, that's one demonstration of cheres. And the other demonstration of cheres is to eat the matzah and to drink the abacosis behesed. Taisus disagrees with the Rambam regarding this issue of Hesed. Taisus' opinion in the Gemara is that Hesedo, to lean on the left side when you're reading, is not a separate mitzvah dismayatma. It's not an independent mitzvah. Hesedo is the proper way to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Hesedo is the proper way to be yotzei the mitzvah of other cases. The Taisus raises a whole discussion, a whole debate that goes into the Shulchan Aruch, with details and details on top of details. What if a person ate the matzah and he forgot to eat the Hesedo? He ate the matzah sitting up. And later on in the middle of the meal, he realizes Givald, he forgot to lean on his left side. That's why he already finished benching, he then realizes Givald, he forgot to eat the matzah, he was eating everything sitting up straight. Does he have to eat the matzah over again? So he says, of course he does. The Gemara says, you have to eat the matzah by a table, you have to lean on your left side. And means that's the proper way to perform this mitzvah matzah, that's the proper way to perform the mitzvah of abakosis. So if you drink the abakosis or you eat the matzah without a table, you just won't eat to the mitzvah abakosis, you won't eat to the mitzvah matzah. You've got to do it all over again. So Taisa gets involved. The Shulchan Aruch began involved. So what are you talking about? You're going to say the bracha al-achidas matzah all over again. There's no shadow of the bracha al-achidas. No, because Taka weren't yet to the matzah. So in Shulchan Aruch they say, well, we wouldn't be so hasty to rush into such a conclusion because we want to discuss the opinion of the Rav Yoh. Rav Yoh's opinion is that this man is there today, in our day and age, that nobody eats when they lay on the left side. Years ago, that was the way free men used to eat on the left side. To them, by people eating on Pesach night, leaning on the left side, this was a way to demonstrate that they are b'nei chorin, that they are free men. So the man is there to leave on the left side, it's like a pain in the neck. So what kind of a derech is it? So the Rav Yosef says that the man is there, no one is mechuyev to eat be'aseder. We wouldn't recommend it for anybody, and you can't say that if you should not eat be'aseder. As far as you eat be'aseder, you're not yetz. That's why the Rav Yosef says, the man is there, the whole aseder falls away. So in Shulchan Aruch La'alocha, we don't pass in as far as Tesis wants to say. Tesis says that if you ate the matzah shaloi be'aseder, you drank the abukosis shaloi be'aseder, you have to do it all over again. Haseber is a din, how to the proper way, how to be able to the mitzvah of matzah, and how to be able to the mitzvah of avikos. We don't go that far because b'riyeber, we rely on the Rav Yo. What are you going to tell us all to eat the matzah all over again and say another brocha, halachid as matzah? So that's why we don't go, because the Rav Yo says that even if Haseber, you don't need Haseber. So b'riyeber, we will rely on the Rav Yo. The Rambam, however, the Rav Yo is still from the Bali Atesis and principally holds like Tesis. It just says Bizman is there, all the laws change. All of the whole Allah of Haseba falls away. According to the Rambam, the whole issue doesn't come up at all. That's what Biskurov pointed out. According to the Rambam, the whole din of Haseba is not a halacha how to be yated properly the mitzvah of matzah, or how to properly be yated the mitzvah of arbukot. It's not a detail in the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of arbukot. It's a separate mitzvah of Haseba. The Rambam holds is a mitzvah chayu varim chol, there's a mitzvah to drink arbukot. Then there's a mitzvah to eat matzah and bacon. Then there's a mitzvah to say it also. The chol over the chayiv adam laharis esatz mekilu hu yatsam mitzrayim. Every person on Pesach night should demonstrate that he is a ben chorin. So what are the two acts of demonstration that we all do to show that we are ben chorin? So one is that we drink four times l'chayim, and the other one is that we eat the hesedah. In fact, the Rambam writes to the Ramokot la'alocha lechatchilu should eat the whole meal the hesedah. It's two. Thank you. Whatever. The whole meal from the beginning to the end, everything should be Hesed. In fact, there's even one opinion in Rishon and the Miri's opinion that you should recite the whole Haggadah Hesed. You should recite the whole Haggadah Hesed. So that in Shulchan Aruch they reject. They quote in the name of the Shalom HaKadosh, so that's not proper. To lean on the side when they're singing about the Rebbeinu Shlomo's praises, that's a little bit too much. You shouldn't say the Haggadah Hesed. But the Ramah does quote that the Chatzilah, it is proper to eat the entire meal, the Hesed. That's the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam Shita is the Haseber, not a din, how to be Yetzir Matzah, or what the proper ways to be Yetzir the Abukos. Haseber is a separate din. On Pesach night, you should do all of the eating the Haseber. Lechatchila, you should eat the whole meal the Haseber. But yet, if you ate the bare essentials, the basic parts of the meal the Haseber, so you ate the mitzvah of Haseber. And what if you ate the whole meal Shalai the Haseber? So Fafan, so you didn't observe the mitzvah of Haseber. What will you fadin? What will you gain? If you eat over again, the Haseber, you won't gain anything. You've already finished your whole meal. According to the Rambam, the whole question doesn't come up. You cannot discuss such an issue. If a person ate the matzah, shalom the Haseber, or he drank the abukos, shalom the Haseber, but the Rambam will not say, even I have a minute. There's no question that he was here to the abukos, he was here to the matzah. But if I felt that on the mitzvah, he just failed to do the mitzvah, Haseber. According to the Rambam, the whole issue doesn't come up because Haseber is an independent mitzvah. But Teisa Shita is different. This is the opinion that Haseb is not an independent mitzvah, but it's rather the proper form to be yetzir the mitzvah of matzah and to be yetzir the mitzvah of arba kosis. Women are not potter from Haseb. Women are not potter. The question is why our practice today is that the women don't eat the Haseb. That's a good question. Why do the women rely on the Rav Yo, who says that today the whole Haseb doesn't make any sense, and the men don't rely on the Rav Yo? That's the question. So several weeks ago we gave a complicated answer to that. The question is better than the answer. The yeshiva is to have a complicated chazan and answer. If you just look in the Shulchan Aruch, the question is a very good one. Right. We assume that all of our mashma are isha hashul. No, the Rav Yo. Right. We assume everybody's kosher. But then the Rav Yo also says that nobody has to have a seder today, neither the men nor the women. Right. That's strictly speaking. But then the Shulchan Aruch writes that the practice is that the men do have seder and the women don't. The women rely on the Rav Yo that nobody has to do a seder, the men don't. So the question is why? They gave a whole explanation several weeks ago why the din is different for the men and for the women. It's a fancy explanation, but it's not found in Shulchan Aruch. It's yeshivas. The yeshivas, they give that explanation. I wanted to speak a little bit about charoses because it's really an unknown entity. It's an unknown mitzvah. Everybody knows what charoses is. You dip the mora in the... Not everybody knows. You dip the mora in the charoses, then you're supposed to shake off all the charoses from the mora. A lot of people dip the mora in, and pile on a lot of charoses and eat it together. So Shulchan Aruch, they make it very clear that you're supposed to shake off all the charotas from the maror before you eat the maror. Just supposed to, the charot is supposed to serve the purpose of dipping in the maror and then to shake it off. So the question is, what is the charotas all about? What is it supposed to represent? So the Tanoim have an argument. There is a machlokas in the Mishnah regarding charotas. There is a machlokas on Kuf Yudal and Al, but the charotas is a mitzvah. Midirabon, of course. Charotas, nobody is going to say charotas and mitzvah on Kher. It's not found in the Chumash. There's no doubt about that. The question is, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik says that it's a mitzvah midirabonon, and the Chachomim disagree. They say no, charos is nishke mitzvah. So the question is, what charos is nishke mitzvah? So what in the world do you need it for? All year long, we don't dip our vegetables in charos. So what do you need a charos for? So the Gemara asks this question: the ilav mitzvah on Kuf Tazayin and Aleph and Sof and the Gemara asks, charos is not a mitzvah. So why does anybody bring any charos on the table? You know, like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, some kind of mitzvah. So Gemara says the answer is given mishum kipa. There's some kind of a worm that may still be alive inside your maror. It's not a question of eating a tray for worm. That's okay. Rashi says it's covered. So Rashi says the worm is kosher. It's not tray. How could the worm be kosher? So Rashi, the Rashbam, and the Tosafot give you an explanation that sometimes worms that develop in the vegetable while it's still growing on the ground are really mutter. You're permitted to eat it. And I turn it around and eat the worm. We wouldn't enjoy eating it. But from the time of the Gemara, Gemara says mutter is mutter. The only question is that it's unhealthy. Going to have the worms pull in, the worms pull out while the guy's still alive. He's going to eat the maror, and the worm is going to be alive inside of his stomach. So the Gemara says, Mishum Kipo, in order to choke the Kipo, in order to choke the worm, that it should die before he swallows it, before he eats the maror. So he should either hold the maror vegetable on top of the charosis, so it'll smell the charosis, or you should dip it into the charosis. This will kill the worm, and then it'll be healthy when you, then there won't be any problem of health. And you follow the mark. But this is the first opinion of the Chachamim, that although charosis is not a mitzvah, we recommend for medical purposes that everybody should have a mara dipped into charosis in order to kill the kipo, so they won't have any live worms crawling around in his stomach. And then Rav Elazar ben Tzadik is of the opinion that it's a mitzvah. What is a mitzvah? But what is a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to dip the mara into the charosis. Why is it a mitzvah? Over and above the medical advice, what's our mitzvah there? So the Gemara gives two reasons for this mitzvah with the Rabbanon, and Tosafos quotes Yerushalmi gives a third reason. The Gemara says the reason for the mitzvah of charosis with the Rabbanon is either zecher l'tapuach. They had tapuach. We usually translate marim tapuach means an apple. But Tosafos points out in Moritzotni the tapuach in biblical Hebrew and in the Talmud and in the Zohar. The Zohar always talks about chakal tapuchen, a stud, a field that has an apple orchard. Chakal means a stutter, a tapuchin. The Tosafos points out it doesn't mean apples are growing there. Apples are an American thing. They didn't have apples in that part of the world in that time of history. In Eretz Yisrael, in time of the Tanakh, there were no apples. Tapuchin in Tanakh means citrus fruits. That's what Tosafos points out. It means an estro. Or any kind of a citrus fruit. In fact, people always assume the Christians have a notion that the forbidden fruit on the Eitz Hadas was the apple, the forbidden apple. You look in the Gemara, Gemara has different opinions. Nobody says that it was an apple. So how does it come from? They say it's an apple. So the explanation is simple. One popular view is that the forbidden fruit of the Eitz Hadas was an esrog. It was an esrog tree. So the Pasuk says that the Chava saw the fruit, that it was nechmad lamara of Tov lahaspa. What do you mean nechmad lamara? The word esrog means nirgav lamechazi. The Targum says nechmad lamara. The Targum Unkelis writes on the Pasuk in the Rashi, nechmad lamara. It was very pleasant to look at, so the Targum Unkelis writes, the Mirgad Lumechazig, the Miragig Lumechazig, it was beautiful to look at. And the word Miragig is the same word as Esrog, Ramban Lassan Chumash. What does the word Esrog mean? Creates Hodor, a beautiful fruit. Hodor means pretty. It's the same word as Esrog, and Aramaic means the Miragig, something pretty to look at. So the Gemara has different opinions in Tanoim, what was the original Eitz Hadas, what was the fruit? So one of the popular views in the Gemara, one view is that it was grapes, one view is fig, there's different opinions in law. So one opinion is that it was an esrog tree, because it was a beautiful tree. And esrog in biblical Hebrew, esrog in Kabbalah, is always referred to as tapuchen. The Christians, the modern Christians, didn't know this thesis in Moritzotni. They didn't know that tapuach in biblical Hebrew in Tanakh means citrus fruit, so they translated an apple, but it's really not correct. So the same over here, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Tachas HaTapuach HaRatichah, that even in Eretz Mitzrayim, when the Jews were oppressed so much, The women would cheer up their husbands under the citrus fruit, under the citrus tree. So in order to make a zeicher to that tapuach, the schus noshim tzidkanias nigalim in Mitzrayim, one of the schus of the noshim tzidkanias was that they would encourage their husbands, that even though the husbands are working so hard, tachashib in Mitzrayim, but still God promised them so many years before, pokor yifkor lekim eschem, that they all knew, they had a tradition, that God was going to redeem them from Egypt. This wasn't going to last forever, it's only going to last for a few years, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep his promise that he gave to Aaron Avinu, by the Brit Ben Absalom, so the wives would give encouragement to the husband, tachas ha-tapua. So in order to have the zeicher for that tapua, that under those citrus trees, they would encourage their husbands not to lose, not to have a yush, that the gula from Mitzrayim would take place, so we make a zeicher to remember that. So we have tapuchin. But today, we make the mistake that the Christians have. People are always mocked with, oh, how do you make karezes with apple? No. You want to say, first make karezes with citrus fruit. Citrus juices. You want to have apples with gazumpe? You can do whatever you want. But in addition to the apples, you have to have some kind of a citrus juice. You're pouring some orange juice, you're squeezing some oranges before Yom Tov. Yom Tov, the dinner is not permitted. Just like on Shabbos, you're not allowed to squeeze out juice. Even on Yom Tov, Oichel Nefesh is permitted. One is allowed to cook. Still, the Gemara says you're not allowed to squeeze juice. And people always forget from one Yom Tov to the other. But to the favorite Gemara, the first daf and base of the Gemara says you're not allowed to squeeze out juices from fruits on Yom Tov, just like on Shabbos. So one opinion of the Gemara is, why does Rav Lezer Rav Tzadok say that charoz is a mitzvah? What is the mitzvah all about? Over and above the medical aid to pay for of killing the worm, the keeper, killing the worm that's inside the Gemara. So the first opinion is that it's supposed to be a zecher l'tapuach, to remember those citrus trees that they had in Mitzrayim, under which trees the women would encourage the men and the husbands not to worry that the gula will come yet. And the second view is fakir, not to remember the happy part, to remember zecher l'tit, to remember the cement, the mortar that the men had to work with at the time that they were building all the cities in Mitzrayim. That's what the Gemara quotes in the Bavli. Tesis on the Daf, the Zayim and Aleph, on the Daf quotes the Yerushalmi, that it's supposed to be Zeicher L'dam, to remember all of the blood, the Jewish blood that was shed in Eretz Mitzrayim. So Tesis points out, but these are two different things. It's supposed to be Zeicher L'tzir, it's supposed to be to remember the cement that they used, and then it's supposed to be taken where she likes to mess. Supposed to be Zeicher L'dam, it's supposed to be the right thing, literally, and she pour. So Tesis says, yeah, that's the practice, which many people don't have, but it's written in Shulchan Aruch like that. That on a normal Pesach, unless Pesach falls out on Shabbos, then you have problems. But on a normal Pesach, the proper thing to do is, you should have charoses. Pesach tells you what the charoses should consist of. Most people don't do it. Charoses are supposed to consist, first of all, of citrus fruits, tapuach. One opinion is zeicher l'tapuach. Then you have to have red wine, zeicher l'dam. If you pour in white wine, it's not going to help zeicher l'dam. You have to have dafke red, yeah, very neat. You have to have dafke red wine, zeicher l'dam. Then Pesach quotes from the Gaonim, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Gaonim write that the practice is the Tshuvas HaGaonim of Farish. They give you the ingredients that you're supposed to have for the Charoses. So they say you should use all of those fruits. Should nidme l'knesses Yisrael b'shir Ashir. That in the Shir Ashir, the Jewish nation is compared to various fruits. So Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim. One is tapuach, the citrus fruit. Okay. The next is a rimon, a pomegranate. You don't have them two available. Next is a teino, fig. Supposed to put in fig. The next is tamarim, date. Supposed to put in date. This is what they usually send out, I think, from the Telzi Yeshivas. They always send you an email before Pesach, a little package of charoses. Nobody likes that. They throw that in the garbage. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That's the real charoses that it says in Shulchan Aruch based on the Tshuvas HaGaonim quoted by the Tosfos. That's stuff that nobody likes. That's the real makor. Then Tosfos says you have to use nuts because the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Adinas beggars yaradkin. You have to use almond. That's a different story. Shkedim. Some people put in, you have to ground up almond. The Tosfos says you have to put in shkedim almonds into your charoses, not because the Jewish nation is ever compared in the Tanakh to almonds. Those are only the other fruits, the citrus fruits, with the pomegranates, with the dates, with the figs, with the nuts. The almond is an undermeister, because the word shkedim, almonds, has in the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu you find. You saw an almond tree. And that was representative of the idea Shoket Hashem there ala roh. Shoket Hashem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning to see to it that he's going to take care of whatever he promised he's going to take care of. So there in Yirmiyahu it was a dovara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and he's going to see to it that he keeps his word. There is a Nevuah L'roh. Here, Tosfos says that I was there to it as the Nevuah L'toiva. Shoket HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala kitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised Avraham Avinu that Gary is a rachbar etzolahem for 400 years, and then he's going to leave. Then he's going to leave Mitzrayim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was shoked al hakeis. He saw to it that he kept his promise with Teva. That's why he's supposed to mix in the yamens into the charos. So Teisus says, first of all, Teisus quotes what the ingredients of the charos is supposed to be, and all of this Teisus is quoted la locha and shulchan aruch and kitzur the shulchan aruch. Everybody quotes it. This is what's supposed to be the proper ingredients of the charos. Then Teisus says, now what are the charos supposed to look like? If the mushroom is both together, should you pour in a lot of wine or a little wine? You'll have a different consistency. So Teisus says, first you pour in so much wine that it should look like like mortar, like concrete, the concrete that they pour. And then, when you're about to dip in the mortar, that's the whole time when it's in the plate before you get to eating the mortar. When you're about to dip in the mortar, then we want to have also the zechel adam, so it doesn't look like dam, just has a red. So in order to make a zechel adam, they say you pour in right before you dip in the mortar, you should pour in an extra amount of wine, so the thing should be floating with wine. Should be a lot of water, it should pour very easily. And then you have your both the zechel atit and the zechel adam. The zechel atapua, you have based on the ingredients. The zechel atit you have based on the consistency before you're, as it's sitting on the table. And then right before you're supposed to dip in the mortar into the charos, and then you shake off the charos, right before you dip it in, then Teisus says, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to pour in an extra amount of wine, so it should be floating with red wine, so then you should have your zechel adam. If Pesach falls on Shabbos, then you have a problem. That's how the Shulchan Aruch says. Because on Shabbos, if you have a mixture and you pour in extra liquid, and you mix the liquid in, and you make it a different consistency, so this may be a violation of Lisha. Just like one of... People, in order to avoid this problem, they never mixed in the wine. Not on regular Pesach, not on Pesach, not on Shabbos. A light floor, but it's really not correct. Pesach, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, says that right before you dip in the maror, the proper thing is to pour in an extra amount of wine. So the Maaseh, what are you supposed to do now that we made the charoses with the proper ingredients? And we have first, it's like cement, it's pouring cement, then we pour in the extra amount. You have with the citrus, everything, no apples, no Christian apples mixed in. The whole charoses, everything's ready. Now what do you do with the charoses? So the mice, all we do with the haroses is we dip in the mortar, we shake off the mortar, and that's all. The little kids sometimes enjoy eating the haroses. Shake off the haroses. Shake off the haroses and eat the mortar, right. The little children often enjoy eating haroses, but is there a mitzvah to eat haroses? So the Gemara doesn't say clearly. The Gemara just speaks like this. There is an machlokes, we'll just repeat again. There is an argument in the Mishnah regarding the status of haroses. The Blazer of Tzadok against the Chacham. Chacham say that it's only for medical purposes to kill the worms, so you shouldn't get a bellyache. And the Blazer of Tzadok says no, in addition to the keeper problem to kill this worm that's crawling around, we also have to have charoses as a mitzvah, a zechel of tapuach, and a zechel of dam, and a zechel of tit, a zechel of all the good results. But the Blazer of Tzadok never says that you're supposed to do anything more than dipping in your mark. So that's what the Rambam has done. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos, in his commentary on this Mishnah, that Kufi Dalit says, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, it's not just for the purpose of dipping in the maror. Dipping the maror, that's kippur, to kill the worm. That's what the Chachamim think. The Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Elazar say, you dip in the maror and then you shake it off. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says the charoses is a mitzvah. What do you mean a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis charoses. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, you say, Abroch HaShek, Rishon HaMim, Rishon HaShek, Tzivan HaAllah, Chidah charoses. And you need a charoses. So the Rambam says in Hayyos that we all have a Haggadah that doesn't have a Shekhashan, we don't have a Bracha ala Chidah charoses. So the Rambam says that's a Raya that we don't pass from like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. That's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, you have to eat a kazayis charoses, you have to recite a Bracha HaShekhashan, and so to Tzivan HaAllah, Chidah charoses before you eat it. But since in our Haggadah we don't have such a Bracha, so that is the proof that we don't accept his opinion. We pass from charoses as Mishkin Mitzvah. It's not a zechel of dam. It's not a zechel of tefillah. It's not a zechel of tapuach. All that's not true. It's merely for the medical purpose of killing the worm. That's it. That's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. So if you look in the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, There he changed his mind. The Pirush HaMishnah he wrote when he was a teenager. And Hazaka he wrote years later. And we often have changes, shinuyim here. The Rambam changed his mind many times between Chuvus the Rambam and the Aruch HaZaka. Here is one of the significant changes that when I say Kalim, the Mefarshim and the Rambam, the Lach HaMishnah and others discuss. The Rambam and the Aruch HaZaka does accept the opinion of our blessed Rav Tzadok. He says, Haroses is a mitzvah. And if it's a mitzvah of Chorei, you have to eat a kazayis of Chorei. He doesn't spell it out in Yad HaChazak of the Ferish, but it sounds like he assumes like that. It's a mitzvah, so therefore you have to eat a kazayis of Chorei. However, he says, you still don't say a bracha. Why not? There's a little unclear in the Rambam, so they still give one reason, another Mepharshim give other reasons. But according to the Rambam, you have a new chiddush, that in addition to everything else that people eat on Pesach night, the little kids are doing the right thing. It's a mitzvah to eat with the Rabbanim. According to the Rambam, the Aruch HaZaka, it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of Chorei on Pesach night. Do any other Rishonim say the same as the Rambam? Sanai Yizak, no one is used to this. Amitzutida Kazayis or Chares. So there's a famous line in the Mordechai. Mordechai was one of the later Balei Hatos, one of the students of the Maharam Rittenberg. Mordechai printed in the back of the Rif has the following line. As a kasha, the Gemara has an achlokas, an argument with the Hillel and the Chachamim regarding the test of the Matzah Gemara. So you have to eat all three together. Hillel insisted. Whether you're passing like Hillel, you must eat all three together. You're passing like the Rabban, that you may not eat all three together. That's the have to eat them separately. So therefore, first we eat the matzah and the maror separately. Then we eat them together to make sure that we eat the lecholadeh. That's the gist of the Gemara. So the Mordechai quotes this Gemara, and he has a kasha. And he words the kasha as follows. How much can a person swallow at one time? What's the maximum food? The people take an aspirin. Okay. Swallow an aspirin. Some people, when they eat, you don't chew up the food into the most tiny particles the size of an aspirin. You can swallow a piece of food that's larger than an aspirin also. How large will a piece of food have to be to cause the person to choke that it just won't go down? So the Gemara says in one place, in Erevin, that a chicken egg, a person can swallow at one time without choking, theoretically possible. But more than a chicken egg, more than a base of panagola, if you swallow that, you'll probably choke. Because it's not sharp that it should fit down your top. How large is a base? So we usually assume that there are two machlokes with the two kazayim of people. Let's assume for our purposes, the mocha assumes that it's two kazayim. But a kazayim is the volume of a half an egg. So the mocha has a kash. Hillel requires of this individual to do the impossible. He should swallow a kazayim mocha, a kazayis maror, and a kazayis chalosis. What's the lotion of the matzah? A kazayis matzah, a kazayis maror, and a kazayis chalosis. All the vasachas, isn't the poor fellow going to choke? Is the kash? Are you going to swallow all this? How can you swallow three kazayisim if two kazayisim add up to a kibetza, the volume of an egg? And the Gemara says in Erev, in Das Peyalas, the base of Leah, the throat, cannot be matzah, because it's not possible to swallow more than a kibetz of the rasal of your children. That's what the Marte assumes in his kasha, that Hillel, who insisted, so wouldn't be enough if he needed to have the achilas cross. That's only good if he eat, let's say, matzah alone. I have a little matzah now, a little matzah later, and I eat a tefka de achilas cross within a moment or two, so then it's in surah yachad. But if you have to have matzah and maror and chareses all together, so it's only considered together if you swallow it mamish for rasal. Strange, that's his kasha. So he enters, the Mordechai enters his kasha. When does the Gemara say that a person will choke if he swallows more than a baked panagolas? If he swallows more than an egg, that's if the egg is not ground up. If the egg is intact, you have a hard-boiled egg. And you swallow it, if you figure that an egg, you're going to choke. But over here, the person chews the matzah from the Mordechai and the Haros. Everything is ground up, it's all granulated, then you can swallow even more than a kibetzel, even a base and a half. The recusation adds up to a base and a half. And you won't show the Torah like a broken, because then they had to show myself. That's what the Mordechai says. This Mordechai is quoted by the Magen Avraham Shalom. He quotes in the name of the Maharik. The Maharik said that from this Mordechai we see a Chumra, a Chiddush. Maharik is looking for Chumra. So he says, you see from this Mordechai a Chumra, a Chiddush, a Chumra. that l'chatchila, the proper thing is that you shouldn't eat little matzah and then pour it, then eat little. The Gemara says that b'riyevet, if you eat matzah now, matzah later, but it's tough today, achilas pras, so then it's mitzuref together. But l'chatchila, the proper thing is to swallow everything down to b'liach. That's how the Gemara says, that's how the Maharit says based on this matzah. Otherwise, what was the kasha of the matzah in the first place? How can you swallow three kizaitim of asas? Who asks him? Who tells him to swallow everything together? That's what the Maharik says, Akum. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik commented on this Mavan Avraham Hashem Maharik, he didn't think that it was approved. So the Maharik is speaking Alibi de Hilo. Hilo's opinion is that you have to eat Pesach Matzah Maharik together. If you're eating only Matzah, so that you can eat a little bit now, a little bit later, it'll be Mitzurah Yachas, that's Matzah, that's Matzah. If you're eating Maharik, because I said Maharik, have a little bit now, a little bit later, and the half of his eyes now, with the half of his eyes from later, will be Mitzurah Yachas, because it's Pesach Achilas Pras. But if Hillel insists that you have to have several different foods eaten together, what do you mean a Tech Kedei Achilas Pras? Well, you have different foods, different mixes. Why should Tech Kedei Achilas Pras, if I eat them within a minute and a half, or 2.5 minutes, why should I be Mitzahat Yachad, the matzah from now, and the morah from later? The different mixes. So the only time, the more I thought, the only time Hillel's din would apply that the yes of the mitzah of eating Pesach Matzah Morah together is if your mama swallow it without something. I agree. I must. Yeah, nobody does like that. Right? Nobody does. Like that. So this is the famous marker that the Magen Avraham makes the whole tumah about. That the chatzir should swallow everything. People can choke that they do like it. We don't do like that. Right? So this marker, when he speaks about this kasha, he presents the kashas on the last page of the marker, page 76. If you go home, you take a look, page 76 in the marker. He presents the kasha, kachaya, it's a hilo kocham of asav v'yochlon. He says he had a kazayis matzah, kazayis mara. The kazayis charoses v'yochlon yachad. They ate all three together. So apparently, there is a machlekes, the Rambam and other Rishonim. We have two nuskos in the Haggadah. Kachaya, it's a hilo bez mancha, mishmigdash hoyakayim, hoyakorach. One version is Pesach matzah mara, and one version is hoyakorach matzah mara. So the Chok Yankis and Hilchus Pesach points out that these two versions in the Haggadah correspond to the two opinions of the Rambam and the other Rishonim. The Rambam's opinion is that Hillel held you eat everything together, but not the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach has to be eaten separately. And the other Rishonim say, no, you eat everything together, the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Mor. So the Mordechai as we have it, the Mordechai as it stands here, that's the Prima Gordon points to this out. The Mordechai as we have it is of the opinion like the Rambam that you don't eat the Korban Pesach together, the Achil Achet with the other thing. But you do have to have a kazayis matzah, kazayis mara, plus a kazayis charoises. That's either kazayis charoises. That since with the rabbanon and eretz hakana, you have to eat charoises. And Hillel says you have to eat whatever you're supposed to eat tonight should be eaten all together. You have to throw in the kazayis charoises together. So the Prima Gordon points out that you see the view of the Mordechai coincides to the view of the Rambam and the Tirush HaMishnah. But since Rav Lezer of Tzadik feels that charoises is a mitzvah, if charoises is wrong, we should keep it to kill the worm. You just dip in the mora and the haroses, and you shake off the haroses, and eat the mora, that's all. And you've fulfilled whatever you're supposed to do. You kill the worm, and that's all. But if you accept the opinion of Abelazar of Tarek that haroses is a mitzvah, that means in addition to dipping in the mora for the purpose of killing your worms, for the medical, for the health, for the hygienic reasons, there's another mitzvah to eat a kazayis of haroses. That's what you see from this mora.
Haroses don't shake off the haroses. Eat the
According to Hillel, because according to the Chacham, you have to eat everything separately. If you eat two things together, so one is mevatel the other. This is the old reading.
The whole problem in modern masculine is because one is very high in the Rabbanah.
Yeah.
But
there,
you take
more and correct
together,
both of them are still a Chacham hold, it's no good. Chacham hold, still no good. No. More today is only the Rabbanah. If you hold this mix, it's only the Rabbana. Yeah. Right. We don't have it. We have no greater, we have no Korban Pesach. say, we talk about it, but it's not possible to give unto. This is the old reading. This is the old girsa in the Markhai. The Markhai presented the kasha, either kazayis pesa, kazayis matzah, kazayis mara, kazayis karosis. He leaves out the kazayis of the korban pesa because he follows the view of the Rambam that the korban pesa should always be eaten separately, even according to Hillel. And it seems to coincide with the other Rambam in the Pirush on Mishnah that we have to have a kazayis of karosis. However, we have Hagoyas, corrections by the Ramah, the Palmidei HaRamah, and his contemporaries, printed in the Markhai, where the Ramon, his contemporary, suggested that there's a misprint over here. That instead of reading Kazayis Charoses, it should really read Kazayis Pesach. Because nobody ever heard of this Kazayis Charoses. How can it be? So they read the Girsa Fakir. But the Markhai is asking a normal, down-to-earth kasha. The Markhai is following the view of the Rashbam and Tesis that Hillel holds you eat all three together, namely Pesach Matzah Umar. So he asked the kasha, how can you swallow Pesach Matzah Umar? Rikizayin is more than a base, so the base of Leah is a massive more. And that kasha yanti is because it's ground up, because it's true. You touched on the topic of Moror, let's discuss that for a while. The Gemara says clearly that Moror, Bizman Hazeh, is only Midirabonim. Bizman HaMikdosh. Moror was a mitzvah in the Torah because they had the Korban Pesach. But Bizman Hazeh, that we have no Korban Pesach, so the mitzvah Moror is only with the Rabbanim. The Rosh and Arvid Sochim raises the question, since Moror today, that there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Pesach, since Moror Bizman Hazeh is only with the Rabbanim, maybe we should not need a Kazayit. He says you have to have so much. If it's a mitzvah in the Torah, then the Rosh seems to assume that you would need a Kazayit. Since more of his man is there, going to the Rabbanon, it's a Zechel of Migdash, and maybe if she came here to sign a Zechel. Have a Zechel, you have to have a Hoka, I can have a Zechel with less than a Kazayis of Horseradish also. We'll also remember that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to eat more of the Nipudah. So the Rosh says, no, we have to have a Kazayis because we recite the Brocha, Shek Rishonu in the source of the Tivon, or Al Achilat Moro, and Ein Achilat Pusim the Kazayis. So if you're going to say a Brocha, Al Achilat Moro, you have to eat a Kazayis. So the answer that the Rosh gives is very difficult. The Shabbosari, the wider Chachamim Institute, and Nusach Abrocha al Achilos Moro, they should have said Abrocha al Mitzvot Moro, and we wouldn't have to eat a Kazai. What kind of an answer is that? But the Institute of the Nusach of the Abrocha al Achilos Moro, and in order not to be a Deva Shkorin, we insist that you have to eat Dafke a Kazai. So don't say al Achilos, say al Mitzvot Moro, we won't have to eat a Kazai. That's the kasha that the Shabbosari asks, and he says it cannot be the whole Rosh doesn't make any sense. It's interesting, Achrenim give the following interpretation of the Haggadah called the Birchas Hashir, with a commentary by one of the Gaonim, who's called Rabbeinu Bishkorit. He wrote about 150 Sforim on everything he wrote, because he wrote a few Sforim on Siddhas and on Kiddush and on Yitzin and on Ribbis and on Basa Bacholo. Everything he wrote is safe. And he left it Savor that whoever publishes one of his Torah would be a fool if a fool Shlema if anyone in the family is sick. And people today, in Yeshiva, where people from whenever a Rachman or someone is sick and members of the family are well off, they're able to afford publishing a Savor. So he publishes this is what's printed and written engraved on his Matzeva. He left the Nusach that they should write on his Matzeva after they bury him, after he died. It's written on whoever will publish any of his Torah will be Zecha for the first line of our memory time. And they distribute these forms free of charge. That's part of the deal. They have to print the form and distribute it. Yeah. So he has very big goal. He wrote the Morgan Hoelet on who has Pesach, he has Hasagot, he attacks the Makor Chaim. He has Hasagot against the Nesivot, the distribution on the first. He has Heoris on Kolotari Kula. So he has a Sefer on the Haggadah. He has a Haggadah that's called Haggadah Bich Hashir, which is also distributed, I think, last year, 2 years ago, free of charge, by someone Nebuch who had a sick wife or something, and published the Haggadah, and they distributed it. So he has in his Chidushim the following biur, the following comment on the Rosh. The Rosh was only questioning whether Bizman Hazeh, Bizman that Mor is only the Rabbanim, what's the nature of the mitzvah? What's the question whether they need a Kazayit, he don't need a Kazayit? What's the issue? So he explains the issue as his follows. When the Chachamim instituted a mitzvah, the Rabbanim did Mor Bizman Hazeh, did they require of us that we should make a Zechel HaMikdash? We have a lot of things Zechel HaMikdash. We should make a Zechel HaMikdash. The mitzvah is to make the Zechel HaMikdash, we can eat less than the Kazai says, no, Ross, we will also be satisfied with the Zechel HaMikdash. Or should we word the Nusach HaTakona differently? Perhaps they made a Takona for the reason they were interested in making the Zechel HaMikdash, so they were mistaken with the Rabbanim in the Mitzvah of Moror, the Moror. If they were mistaken Moror for the reason of Zechel HaMikdash, then they were mistaken Moror, you have to have a Kazai says, no. Just like this one should be some English for you can in Mitzvah to the Kazai says, no. So this man said, the Chacham was mistaken in the Mitzvah of Moror, with the Rabbanim, and the reason was Zechel HaMikdash. Then if the mitzvah more, you need a kazak. But if the mitzvah is the reason for the mitzvah and the mitzvah, the whole mitzvah consists of make a zechel amigdash. Don't say not that the mitzvah is to eat more a zechel amigdash. The mitzvah is to make a zechel amigdash. If the mitzvah was to make a zechel amigdash, then you don't have to have a kazak for a zechel amigdash. So the Rosh was poshut his suffix. He worked out his suffix not because of the nusach of the bracha, as the Shabbataria understood it, not because we recite the bracha al achilas mor. So then the Shagatai is right. Don't say the bracha al achilas mor, say the bracha al mitzvah mor. No. The Rosh was placed at the Shabbat from the fact that there exists the bracha, period. This man ha migdosh, of course they recited the bracha shekhar the Shabbat as well, al achilas mor. This man ha zeh, after the Churban Habayit. So mor is only with the Rabban Zechel and migdosh. So the Rosh thought as follows. If the mitzvah is a mitzvah mor or mid the Rabban, and the reason why they instituted mor mid the Rabban is because of the time of Zechel HaMikdash. So what is the actual takone? What is the actual mitzvah of the Rabbanon? So we should have a mitzvah of Moro. So then the mitzvah of Moro requires a bracha. I call mitzvahs not terror, mitzvah of Rabbanon, you recite a bracha. But if the mitzvah is not that it's Moro, Moro is a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, Zechel HaMikdash, the mitzvah is to have a Zechel HaMikdash, then you will show them clearly that you never recite a bracha in a mitzvah of Zechel HaMikdash. The Oroch, the Chayyanki quote from the end of the Oroch this time, why don't we recite a bracha before we eat Korach? The Korach is supposed to be Zechel HaMikdash Kehilo, why not recite a bracha before the Achilas Korach? So the Chayyanka quotes in the name of the Sefer HaOroch, that was a contemporary of Rashi, one of the earlier Rishonim. The Oroch answered that a mitzvah that's only Zechel HaMikdash doesn't require any bracha. Why is that? It's probably the following reason. We find in the Poskim that a bracha is only recited when a person does a Maisa mitzvah. If that person moves into an apartment that has mezuzahs already nailed on the door, so he doesn't recite, there's one opinion that he recites the bracha, not l'kvoa mezuzah, because he's not nailing on, he recites the bracha, shekhar shalom and shekhar tzvonah, l'adur ba'abaya sheyeh bo mezuzah. So, Hashem gave us a mitzvah to live in a house that has mezuzah on. That's what the Magen Avraham says in our time. So, if Kaveh writes that he never heard any goyim say this bracha, he met many great Tamil Hakamim, he never heard that anybody followed this stop of the Magen Avraham to recite a bracha, on the fact that you move into a house and you live in a place that has mezuzah. The question is, why not? So the Poskim all give the same answer, that the Chachamim only made a takana to recite a birchas hamitzvah in connection with a maisa mitzvah. If you happen to have a kima mitzvah without any maisa mitzvah, you don't recite any bracha. If you're being yotzei mitzvah, you're not being a tzatzik in an actual maisa mitzvah siyah, then no bracha is recited. So here regarding Zechel HaMikdash, the Rosh was mesupik as follows. If the mitzvah of the Rabbanon was that they were misakin the mitzvah to eat maror, and the reason, the rationale for the mitzvah, the motivation, what motivated the Rabbanon to institute the mitzvah maror is, in order we should have a zechel amigdash. But the mitzvah that they were misakin the mitzvah of achilas maror, then it's a maisa mitzvah of eating maror. But if the whole mitzvah of the Rabbanon was to have a zechel amigdash, then the eating of the maror is not really the maisa mitzvah. The eating of the maror is just a way to conjure up in our mind a memory and a zecher of what things used to be like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So what is the actual mitzvah? The thinking in your mind about what things were like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. What did things look like in the days of the Temple? If that's the mitzvah, just to think in your mind, then it's a mitzvah shebemachshavo, a mitzvah b'machshavo. You never recite any bracha because there's no ma'aseh mitzvah. So the Rosh answered his question, do you need a kazayis or not, depends on this question. Whether Morah is a mitzvah, Morah, Midr Abonim is Morah, Morah is a mitzvah, Zechel HaMikdash. So the Rosh says, from the fact that there exists the bracha, not from the fact that the nusach of the bracha is al achilas mor. No, then the Shabbatai asked a good kasha. Why didn't the Chachamim formulate the nusach of bracha, mitzvah, Morah? The Rosh meant to say a different thing. From the fact that we continue to recite a bracha, any bracha you want, from the fact that we continue to recite a bracha before we eat Morah, that's a clear indication that it's not merely a mitzvah to have a Zechel HaMikdash. In that case, there wouldn't be any bracha at all, period. Because the mitzvah would be a mitzvah shebemach shoveh. And the fact that we still continue to recite a bracha after the year 70, after the Korban HaBayis, that's a clear indication that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of achilas maror. And therefore, you still need a kazak. That's what the Rosh meant to say. Right. On the Torah. Oh. So according to this cheshbon, some poskim say, right. The Shagasai says, according to this cheshbon, and some opinions quote this in Shohanata, by the Korah, it's not necessary to have a Kazai's mat and a Kazai's mat. Since it's only a Zechel and Migdash, can if again, it can be a Tibakulet. That's one opinion in the Shohanata. The Mechaber himself writes not so. The Mechaber in the Balamor writes explicitly you have to have a Kazai's of Matzah and a Kazai's of Morah for the Korah. But the Shagasari quotes that if a person wants to, if the person doesn't feel up to it, he can't eat so many kazaisim. So what you should chisel down, so let's say the Shekhanah says you have to eat like this. And you say hamoisi and also that's not, because you have to eat two kazaisim on matzah. It's not a lot, two kazaisim on matzah. When you say the bracha on the morrow, you have to eat a whole kazais, that's just the volume of the half an egg. You have to eat a whole kazais of morrow. When you eat the karf, you have to have a kazais matzah plus a kazais morrow. When you eat the avikaimon, you still have two kazaisim on matzah. If that's too much, so the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah, you chisel down a little bit, instead of having right after Hamotzi Alach Yilas Matzah. Two kizais, Mishnah says, you can forgo on the extra one, just have one kizai. Next time you chisel down is on the other time, you say, having two kizais and have one kizai. What if it's still too much? It's still too much to have one kizais matzah, and one kizais smaller, and one kizais matzah, one kizais smaller for the Korah, and then one kizais matzah at the end for the other time. So what do you chisel down on next? So the next thing to go should be the Korah. That's what the Shagadari says. Because based on this Rosh, on the Korah, since it's purely a mitzvah of Zecher, to have the Zecher of Migdash Kehilo, so there, can a Yotze Zayn Zecher by having less than a Kazai Smart and less than a Kazai Smart. It's not really a mitzvah of Achid, it's just a mitzvah to have a Zecher. Yeah. These are some of the Inyonim of Hilchos Pesach. Hilchos Pesach are very interesting. We could spend hours and hours talking. I'll just close with one comment on the Haftorah. This week is called Shabbos Adorah. There are different reasons why the Shabbos in Hilchos Pesach is called Shabbos Adorah. In the Shulchan Aruch, they taught several reasons. One of the popular reasons given by the Poskim is that on the Shabbos before Pesach, we read a special Haftorah, which concludes with the Pasuk, "Hinenoch Sholeach Lachem Etzel Yohanavi, Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem Hagol Vanor." The prophet Malachi says that the very last Pasuk in Malachi, he says that Yohanavi will come before the great day, before the great fearful day. What is the great fearful day? So the Gemara says in Erevin on Daphne and Gimel on day is that the Pshat in the Pasuk is as follows. The Yoh Navi will appear to the Bezna HaGadol in Yerushalayim the day before Mashiach will come. And he will tell the Bezna HaGadol that tomorrow the Mashiach will appear. This is what the Gemara says. So Tzvi Hirsch Chayes has in his commentary on Erevin on Daphne and Gimel on day that in his Gemara it seems very clear that the Gemara supports the view of the Rambam. The Rambam has an interesting chiddush. He says there are two types of smicha. There's a smicha, when you ordain a rabbi, there's a smicha, ish mitzvah yishad Moshe Rabbein. Moshe Rabbein gave smicha to Yeshua ben Nun into the 70s he came. And then, any one of the people that he gave smicha to had the right to confer smicha to somebody else, and turn had the right to confer smicha, and so on, down throughout all the generations. However, this law of conferring smicha can only take place in Eretz Yisrael, can't be given a chutzlah. The smicha that we give in chutzlah is a different halacha. The Shulchan Aruch calls it it's an imitation smicha. It's a moreno, it's all different things. It's not really what the Gemara and what the Torah refer to as Elohim. Elohim in the sense of a dying son of a person, a rabbi, he's really a day. So a zechel of smicha, it's not a real makor. So the real smicha cannot exist in chutzlah, and even in Eretz Yisrael, already in the tales of the Amoroyim, the smicha had already ceased to exist because of the Roman persecution. Because they would kill anybody they had persecuted, they would kill anybody who would confer smicha. They stopped giving the smicha. So the question is, the Rambam raised the question, if nobody in the world is alive today who has any smicha, so how will we ever have a Bez Nagar? So one could give a simple answer. Eliyahu Navi was a one-time alive person. Now, and then he went up to heaven. The Pasuk says he never died. Pasuk Malachi says he went up to heaven and he's alive now in the form of an angel. And he'll come back to this earth, he will reappear in the form of a human being. So he is an individual who once had smicha many, many, many years ago, and got smicha and yeshiva. So he is a person who had smicha, and smicha didn't evaporate. His learning didn't disappear just because he went to heaven, he didn't forget all of his things. He will come back, and he will be able to confer smicha to other people. You have to have two, you have to have a bezna of three, you have to have a tribunal of three to confer smicha, but you don't need that all three have to have smicha themselves. All you need is that one person have smicha with another two religious people, they can give smicha to another person. So one could have said, Eliyahu Navi will come back, come down from heaven, will appear as a human being, And he will confer smith and he will constitute a Bez Magoro. But the Gemara doesn't seem to say that. The Gemara says, Ela Yo, Navi will appear in front of the Bez Magoro in Yerushalayim. How did they, where did they come from? They also came down from heaven. Where did Bez Magoro come from? So it sounds from the Gemara. They will exist. A chief rabbinate in Eretzola, Bez Magoro will be Yerushalayim, that will have smicha. And Ela Yo, Navi will come and meet them and greet them one fine day and tell them tomorrow Mashiach is going to be here. So from this Gemara, we see clearly, like the Rambam says, that there's another kind of smicha. Rambam says the hechreif and the pesukim in Novi, we see there must be an additional kind of smicha. Not only ish miti ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, that you have the masorah through the chain of masorah. I got smicha, somebody had smicha, someone else got smicha, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rambam writes, he thinks there's another kind of smicha. If all the hachamim and Eretz Yisrael get together and they decide to confer an honorary degree of smicha on any given individual, that person is not considered a rav and is considered a musma. So the Maharaj Chai points out that from this posit, the way the Gemara understands it, we see that the Rambam is right. Otherwise, how did the Gemara assume shot in the posit that a Yonah will appear in front of the Bez Magoro? And if there is no Bez Magoro to speak of, in the days of the Gemara there was no Bez Magoro. So what are they talking about? Right. The Rambam is not sure about his Kiddush. Right. So the Maharaj Chai points out that from this Gemara it would appear that you have to be sure about the Kiddush. That's what he says. There's no other way out. But I wish everybody a good Yantif and a good Yantif. Next Monday night, we won't have any Shia. And then the Monday following Pesach, there also will not be a Shia. There will be a special program in the Shul in commemoration of Yom HaShoah. And the Monday, the second Monday following Pesach, we will continue to learn the Inyanim of Sfiras Omer, which happened to appear in the Gemara Menachos.